Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi, it's Lois. Just a quick note to say that if you're a person with a disability who is wanting to achieve a goal and would like some help with that, then stay tuned after today's interview and I'll try and help you in that area. Right, let's dive into today's episode. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen. Today, we're having another episode in the Job Talk series, where we talk to people with disabilities involved in mainstream employment. And today, we are talking to Abida Mohammed. Abida, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. I hope you are as well.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Seeing. It's great to have you with us. Where I usually like to start the interviews is just to ask for you to give us a brief introduction to yourself and tell us a little of your story.
Okay, so as you know, I'm Abida Mohammed. I currently work at Sanlam as an Oracle database administrator. I've been working in the Oracle world since 1998. And Oracle has become more and more accessible to visually impaired people over the years, which is a huge plus and an advantage to us.
Can you tell me a little bit about your visual impairment?
So I was Prem. So I was born with albinism. And because I was Prem, my irises weren't developed. And then because of apartheid, they didn't expect an Indian child to have albinism, so they didn't cover my eyes in the incubator, so my retinas were also damaged. So I think I chose to be blind, and I made sure that it was so. But I live a relatively full life, and life is good.
Great. Thank you for that brief introduction. So you work as a database administrator. What does the job entail? Particularly, you know, for myself, yes, my husband's involved in a technical field. But for me and for our listeners who maybe don't have the context of a technical background, what is a DBA and what does the job involve?
The job involves looking after very large databases for corporates mainly, because only corporates can afford Oracle. It's a very, very expensive piece of software. We kind of get involved with things like backups. So you ensure that, you know, if something goes wrong, you can go back to the day before or the year before or whenever. And a little bit of design of the database, support of developers, capacity planning, performance tuning, development as well. And just ensuring that information is stored in a way that's easily accessible and end users are able to retrieve it and update it in an efficient and timely manner.
So as a person with a visual impairment, are you accessing all of the information using a screen reader, or how are you working generally?
Yes, I use a screen reader called NVDA. I work a little bit differently from my sighted colleagues in that I do everything from the back end. So I don't use a mouse at all. I just, I've had to learn commands, back end commands over the years to enable me to do my job. In a way, that gives me an advantage because it forces me to understand what's happening, you know, right from the kind of ground up. So I think I actually appreciate that fact. I don't have, well, I prefer not to use tools with point and click where you just click on something and it gives you the output. I have to go in and type the command and then look at the output.
So you really are working at the most fundamental level rather than having maybe the quicker option of just clicking and
yes, yeah.
We'll kind of dive into that a little more detail as we go through, because I'm curious about, you know, what you see as the advantages and the disadvantages of working in a slightly different way. But if we can take a step back, tell us about the training to become a database administrator.
So I was never interested in IT. I was never interested in maths. I did a BA degree and I did some social work training. And then it so happened that the company I was employed by eventually was offering a basic kind of programming, 6-month programming course. They wanted to include a few visually impaired candidates. And my social work professor at the time said to me, well, you know, we teach you to design aptitude tests, so I dare you to take the test. And I said to him, but I don't know maths and whatever. He's like, no, let's just try it. Let's see. I was quite eager to leave home at the time because I was in my late 20s and I was hoping to kind of break out into the big bad world. So I took the test and then I did the course, and then they offered me a job in something different from the course that I had done in Durban as a trainee. And then the rest is history.
Well, it may be history to you, but, you know, what was that course that you then moved into? You know, I'm just curious about more of the details of the process of learning to manage a database and the large data, that kind of training. I mean, was it hard? Was it easy for you? Were they willing to make adjustments? Were there many adjustments?
Yes, they were actually. I was blessed in that I had a colleague who had a computer science degree and honors in computer science, who was extremely patient with me. I didn't even know how to send emails when I started work.
Really?
And he would sit next to me. Well, it was, you know, the late 90s where kind of things like that were just introduced, and he would sit next to me and he'll say, okay, I'm typing this, that's the output we're expecting. And he would sit like that for hours with me. I think I'm really, really blessed to have that kind of fundamental training. And I worked there for 9 years. The people I worked with were also very, very, very supportive, in that they would, I think they appreciated the work that I did, but if there was something I couldn't do, then we would, like, for example, at that time, screen readers didn't read case very quickly and easily. So the decision was made for the big system that we supported not to make things case sensitive, just to help me. you know, or to make it easier for me to work. So I'm really, really grateful for that. Yeah.
I can only imagine what that must have been like, coming from a background that was not particularly tech based, and then going into something that is very heavily technology focused. That must have been quite a shift. Tell me about some of the challenges that you faced, both during the training and in your working career.
I think the challenge was that there was no training. So Oracle weren't willing to provide training at that time to visually impaired people. Mm-hmm. So when colleagues went on courses, they would come back and kind of relay what they learned, or the salient stuff, or whatever was related to our environment. And that's how I learned. So, yeah.
Have you found that that's changed over the years? And
it has. Oracle is very, very, they kind of bending over backwards now to make things accessible. They have a few visually impaired people that they actually employ in Florida and in the US. So yes, they kind of, I think they, you know, they one of the according to US law, people have to make everything accessible. But Oracle are really going out of their way to do that.
That's really good to hear. It's always great to hear the success stories of organizations who do start becoming more inclusive in their approach and in their design as well.
Yes.
And other challenges on a day-to-day basis in the working environment? How are your colleagues are working well with you? They you know, they're comfortable accommodating your needs?
Yes, Sanlam is you know, they try to kind of do the best that they can. And if I say, you know, I need something, or I need help here or there, they've assigned a buddy to me, which makes life a lot easier, because I, you know, we work together with the two Oracle DBAs. So she kind of, if I say to her, I can't read this or whatever, she's available. And they've also allowed me to work from home so that I don't have to worry about transport and things like that. I go into the office like once or twice a year. Okay. So yes, they do make it a lot easier.
It makes a big difference, I think, in terms of that sense of belonging, that sense of feeling that
for sure
you're able to, yeah, to produce just like anyone else.
Yes.
You mentioned that you find that working in the back end, you really come to understand the processes that you're working with, that you are designing. So tell us about some of the other opportunities that you feel that your way of working gives to you as a DBA.
It gives me the ability or the opportunity, or it forces me to actually understand the inner workings of Oracle, because I have to go in and look at the you know, the files and the log files and all of that, interrogate all of that and see what's happening to make things work. But I think also because when I started work in 98, there weren't many tools around, and the colleague I worked with, the DBA, kind of, he tried to also work like me to make sure that if I had an issue, there was a way of overcoming it. And then I worked with another DBA who's also very experienced, and he also still helps me quite a bit. And he lectured to Oracle. So he kind of, or at Oracle, he understood, or he still understands the inner workings with Oracle. So if I say to him, you know, I'm dealing with this, or I need to know how this thing is working, or this is how I'm setting it up, then he'll say to me, but, you know, go look there. And I think it would perform better if you did that. So I'm blessed in that respect, because the newer kind of DBAs don't do that. They use tools and then they just, you know, point and click and get the information out. So, yeah.
Are there times that you find that because you work in that slightly different way, that it gives you different insights that allow you to help your sighted colleagues to puzzle through a situation?
Yes, I definitely. I mean, they sometimes become impatient with me, which is understandable, because I say, no, it's, you know, look at there or look there. That's where we need to go. Or this functionality is available, and they just want to, you know, everybody wants to make life easier. So that does happen sometimes. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's good to hear that. I'm curious about kind of the skills, the aptitudes that you feel are useful for someone who's considering possibly becoming a DBA.
I think you have to persevere, and you have to be tolerant, and you have to be patient, and kind of tenacious. And also, you know, because I think in any situation, when you have a disability or a visual impairment, whatever, people are unfortunately think, well, you know, because there's an issue with your vision, there's an issue with your brain and all the rest of you. So sometimes, you know, there's that constant kind of having to prove yourself and say, well, I can do it, and show people that you can. I mean, there are people who give you opportunities and who are willing, and you appreciate that, but for, you know, it's, and if you don't take the opportunities and run with them, I mean, there was a time in my life where I was just, I think, tired of all that, and I just kind of gave up. Then I wasn't able to benefit from what was being offered. So, yeah.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that the kind of most consistent challenges that you're facing are the social stereotypes that many people have around the implications of disability.
Yes. And also, I mean, people feel sorry for you, and they may say to you, okay, you know what, it's okay, it's okay. But then in the end, you're the one that are going to lose out, because yes, people feel sorry for you and they'll help you and, you know, just spoon feed you, but that's not going to help you grow then. You know?
Yeah.
So if you want to persevere and you want to move forward in your life, then you have to take those opportunities that come, and sometimes be a bit pushy and forceful to make things happen. I think you know that from your life as well, Lois. I'm sure you experienced that too.
Yeah, I think we all have our stories related to that topic. I'm curious though whether you find that working remotely means that you are less exposed to that kind of social stereotype. Does the process of being in a different space rather than the same physical space, does it remove some of that automatic social stereotypes because they can't interact with you 9 to 5?
Yeah, you're right, actually. I've never thought of it that way, but that's true, because they forget that I can't see. And also, you know, the work needs to be done. So they just say to me, well, do that. Mm-hmm. And then how I do it and where I do it and when I do it is my business. You know, nobody sees that I'm working differently or I have a screen reader or whatever, unless I say to them, look, I can't read this, or please help me here or whatever. They just completely kind of forget about it. So yeah, it does make it easier, actually.
It's an interesting kind of approach that I haven't really thought of myself before, but just wondering whether that does have an impact, and maybe I must explore that a little bit more in other conversations. So would you recommend database administration as a career possibility for other people with disabilities, particularly visual impairment?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a lot easier than I tried to be a developer for 7 years, but that didn't, it wasn't as simple as being a database administrator. If you're if you have a good memory and you have an inclination towards tuning and, understanding kind of databases and operating systems and stuff like that, then it's a good career to have.
You know, I think a lot of us also, having disabilities, we spend our lives figuring out innovative solutions to, some problems that come up on a day-to-day basis. And I wonder if that gives us an automatic advantage as a skill set.
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah, definitely.
Abida, if people would like to learn a little bit more about you and your journey, how can they reach out to you?
I guess they could send me an email. That would probably be best. So my email address is abidamohammed@outlook.com. So it's abidamahomed@outlook.com.
As a final question, what advice would you give to a young person with a disability who's considering becoming a database administrator? Where should they start?
I think I kind of, went about it the wrong way around, maybe. So it's better, because I see that people who have computer science degrees or diplomas have a much better edge over those of us that kind of just learned on the job, because they have an overall view. So I would say if you're able, you should actually go to university or a technicon or technical college and do a degree or a diploma. So then you have an overall view of IT rather than just the area of expertise, and then you can become a database administrator.
Great. Thank you so much. Abida, thank you. It's been really great to chat to you today and learn a little bit about you, about the work you do, and about your thoughts around database administration. So thank you for making the time to chat to us today on A Different Way of Seeing.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, Lois, and may these interviews help people in their search for a career path. The unemployment rate in this country is so high, and I think for disabled people, it's even harder. So, yes, well done, and thank you to you.
Hi, it's Lois again. I'm not certain if you know, but I am a coach who works specifically with people with disabilities. If you have a disability and are wanting to achieve your goals, or maybe think through some of the challenges that you're facing in your professional or personal life, or want to take up a new opportunity, a new adventure, but just don't seem to be able to get to doing it, let's explore how I can help you. Hop onto the Contact Me form on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. That's Lois Strachan, LOISSTRACHAN.com. And sign up for a 30-minute discovery call so we can chat to see if I am the right person to help you to achieve your goals. Contact me now for that free 30-minute discovery call on loisstrachan.com. I'd love to have the opportunity of helping you to achieve your goals.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yasi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.